during the last week's half hour program. That was great. And now I need to raise more than $1,000 to catch up. The number's 877-552-66. Need you to kick down people, and you know why, and I'm talking to you. And now let's get right down to some topics here. Now, when you hear that the post office or the bus drivers have a problem with billions in unfunded pension liabilities, be aware that you are being tricked by rhetoric. And the rhetoric is coming from the owning class. The post office is supposedly in the red because Congress is forcing it to pay in advance for the pensions of postal workers who have not yet been born. The funding has to go 70 years in advance. This is a cruel trick. But billionaires love it because it is intended to wreck the constitutionally mandated National Postal Service and open the gates for more fat and undeserved profits for UPS and FedEx. And second, they love it because it frames workers' rights as an expensive frill that endangers good business. This frame works. Ironically, in part because so many workers are being deprived of their rights and dignity that an unfocused resentment has built up, and the billionaires can use that resentment. Workers, that's you and me, by the way, actually build and maintain the society. We have a right, and the society we build has an obligation to pay pensions and other human rights like health care and housing. We built the society, the workers. I repeat, the workers built this society, and it is ours. It is not the society of the fraction of the fraction of 1%. It is not the billionaire society. And we, the workers, have a right to live in peace and dignity. That's what pensions are about. What are you supposed to do when you can't work? You have a pension. That's deferred compensation. That's part of what you get when you work, when you build the society. That comes first. And I am astonished that food stamps have just been cut, and yet I hear no shouting in the streets. Maybe it's the weather. More about the weather in a minute. Pardon me for repeating myself, but this society has an anemic deficiency of torch-bearing mobs. This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly, media manipulation, and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know, giving you the tools to destroy billionaire rule. The number to call you right now, 877-552-66. The amount to raise, $1,200. 877-552-66. Now, you can do this by spending 3 minutes on the phone with us. We love to talk to you. You can tell us what you think about KBOO programming. You can tell us if you like those shows. Do you ever tune in at like 3 o'clock in the morning? You will hear astonishing things on KBOO at 3 o'clock in the morning. Tune in any other radio station. It's all the same stuff. KBOO, something very different. Tune it in at 10 p.m. Try that. Tune it in at 5 p.m. You get local news with actual journalists. Now, here in the Portland metro area, where the government's auditors choose to pretend that the pensions and health care of the bus drivers are an unfunded frill, they're saying it's going to cost nearly $1 billion. Now, it's true that health care costs are unbelievably corrupt in the U.S., but that's not the bus driver's fault, is it? Disclosure, I am a bus driver. That's the fault of self-hating Fox News watchers who won't allow the U.S. to join the rest of the industrialized world with socialized medicine. Oh my God, how terrible. Socialized medicine like they have in Britain. Socialized medicine like they have in Denmark. Socialized medicine where they have in France, where everyone has to wear a little fur hat and drink borscht because it's socialized medicine. How idiotic. Of course, we need socialized medicine. We need a national health service, and that would take billions and that would take trillions out of the pockets of people who are simply getting it out of corruption now, simply getting it out of an undeserved hierarchy that has been built up over the years by the rich in order to suck money out of sickness. Why? Why do we tolerate this? Socialized medicine. But the unfunded pension costs that you hear about for the bus drivers are projected over decades, thereby generating a huge total. I think it's $800 and something million, nearly $1 billion. Of course, it's a huge total. If you pretend it has to be paid all at once for decades of bus service. Now, imagine that one might as well say that the bus service has an unfunded $1 billion obligation to buy buses. Well, of course it does. If you pretend that it all has to be paid at once. I mean, you can use exactly the same logic. Oh, we don't have the buses now, but it's going to cost billions to buy all these buses. And who's going to pay for it? I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course, we're going to pay for the buses as we go. I can imagine a great stockpile of buses purchased in advance waiting decades to be used. I'm not going to do that. Of course, the bus service would never do that. It would be ridiculous. The government's auditors are simply using a rhetorical trick to make the workers' needs seem like a gigantic, unreasonable demand. They frame things this way because we live under this way of billionaire propaganda, propaganda of Alec and Roger Ailes' faux news, and the needs and desires of workers are viewed as frivolous, excessive, unnecessary, and something to be discarded for a hard-nosed, manly efficiency. This efficiency, these austerity measures, are of course rendering us all into desperate serfs. That's the idea. Austerity will never produce a return to prosperity, but that's the whole idea. Prosperity isn't for you, the producer of wealth. It is for the consumers and aggregators of wealth. The fraction of the fraction of 1%, the millionaire and billionaire class, who will be swift to tell you that they deserve all of it and more due to their amazing, brilliant, aggressive qualities. Never mind that most of them simply inherited the money. You're listening to KBOO Portland. We need to raise money from you. And this means that you have to put on your community hat and think about who you are.
You're intuitive on your
and
part.
Who you are in community and whether you are committed to actually pulling. Yeah. Are you going to grab the reins? You know, 1 out of 10 of the listeners grabs the reins and says, okay, community radio is so important. Community radio was important to Occupy. Community radio was important to anti-imperialist protests. Community radio is important to the progressive nature of this town and state. You know it. It's that 1 in 10. You are that 1 in 10. You know. And that's what makes a difference, that you understand how it works, how important community radio is, and what would happen if it were to disappear. And that's why I would like you to call right now, 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-5266. Right now we are joined by the experts at Pledge Central. Here they are coming in.
Thank you, Teresa.
We've got a rolling stage, and they just...
It's great. It's impressive. I love the rolling stage. That is
and
a new
the hydraulics
really
that lift
like
you
it.
Up and the lights. Man,
absolutely.
They're great.
But we are here.
We could turn the smoke machine down a bit.
Oh, come on. That's the fun part.
I'm Lynn. I'm here with Will, my good friend Will, and we are here to tell you how you can give money to this station. 877-500-5266. Let me try that again. That's the number to call. 877-500-5266. That is the number to call. Now is precisely the time to do it. Would you not say, Will?
I would definitely say that. This could be the most important thing you do today, and it's a great way to start the day. It's just gone 9, and you're listening to Teresa Mitchell's terrific show, Press Watch, and you can pledge your support to this show, and it's one of my favorites. And I know if you're listening right now, it's one of yours, because you learn so much from this show. And you can pledge by calling 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KABOO. And call up right now. We have a terrific flash drive for a $75 donation. You can get this flash drive, which is just jam-packed full of information. It actually blows my mind how much information can be placed in one of these tiny little things.
Can I talk about the flash drive for a second?
Yeah, please do.
It's got interviews. Well, it's got Molly Ivins. Do you miss Molly Ivins?
I do.
I miss Molly Ivins. Well, we have an interview with her from 92 on this flash drive. I want to say a thumb drive. That makes it a thrash drive. I don't know, something like that. Tom Hartman talking at Pals. We got Ken Kesey at Pals in 92. We got Pete Seeger from 1969. And the great thing about Pete Seeger is he was always right on. You know, Pete Seeger was a Mahatma.
Absolutely.
He really was a great soul, Pete Seeger. Susan Faludi, W.B. Du Bois is on this. He's from 1964. This is a KBOO interview that
Dick
we have.
Dick Gregory.
It's just incredible what we've got
this
on this.
This is an incredible
thumb drive.
Lineup of important.
And if you enjoy this kind of programming, once you've got the thumb drive, well, you've got it available any old time. And what I suggest is that you spend 3 minutes on the phone right with us right now. 3 minutes on the phone. Come on now, you can do that. Join up. You'll become a voting member. You'll get KABOO discounts. And I want $10 a month from you. $10 a month, 877-500-5266.
That can be done. That can be done easily, Teresa. And, you know, you can give this thumb drive to your right-wing relatives and friends.
Tell them to play it loud.
And play it really loud. And it's small, so it won't cost you much postage. This is the thing to do. $75. You can spread that out over 12 months. It's the easiest thing in the world. Call 877-500-5266 right now. people like Teresa Mitchell is one reason a lot of people I know got involved with cable. They went, oh, so I know lots of you are out there and that you, I hear people calling in all the time. You love her show. This is the time to show her some love. 877-500-5266. And you know, that's one reason the radio is so good here, because people do it out of a labor of love, and things are always better when you love them.
That's for sure. I totally agree. And I actually know how much labor Teresa puts into this show and how much work. And it's a huge amount of work to get all this information, to collate it, to learn about it and put it into a form where we can all listen in.
And because I burn your ears off talking about what I'm going to use when I'm not.
I learned so much from your show, and I really appreciate it. It's a valuable resource. I listen to a lot of books, and you know, I listen to a lot of radio, but Teresa Mitchell's show is absolutely, definitely one of the best, and I enjoy it so much. And you, too, can show how much you love this show by calling us at 877-500-5266.
Support all the programs on KBOO. We've got Linda Olsen-Osterlin coming up next. We've got more of the Incomparable Radio Zine, and right now, I'll go back to programming. Thank you, Will. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome,
and,
Teresa.
Our pleasure.
I am... seriously not going to get through this script, though, if we don't get some calls in. I need you to call even while I'm yakking away. Don't worry, it's going to be on kboo.fm, and you'll be able to find it by putting in kboo.fm/presswatch or searching for Press Watch, and then you'll be able to find the audio later today, just about 15-20 minutes after I quit yakking, you'll be able to find it. So don't worry, you won't miss it. So I want to talk about austerity measures. These austerity measures are intended to render us all into desperate serfs. And this brings me to elections. As long as the entire debate over everything from global warming to minimum wage can be framed by billionaire media owners and advertisement buyers, your vote is a joke. That's why you need KBOO, so that you can have some idea of who is running on the elections. Nonetheless, it is necessary to vote in some jokers so that we can properly frighten them with street demonstrations, in my opinion, but I propose we take it up a level. $15.50 or fight, that's a reference to minimum wage, of course, and you recognized it immediately, I hope, but what if it were an even more recognizable meme? And what if demonstrators at the Capitol in Salem or downtown, let's say May 1st, 2014, May Day, were backed up by people in their cars, wouldn't even have to be rolling, the streets could be parked, blasting their horns, 10 cars at first, beep, beep, beepity, beep, bop, 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 bop. I guarantee it would scare the bejesus out of the authorities, and not for any rational reason. My God, the car owners are joining in with the rabble. Other drivers would start honking, too. Spring is coming. Just a suggestion. Seriously, I suggest beginning planning on a human rights and minimum wage demonstration in the spring. I think it's going to happen. It's already happening. I mean, there's huge, huge thousands of people demonstrations against the fascism that blew up at the North Carolina State Capitol. I bet you didn't hear about that this past week. Things are already happening. May Day is coming. We either stand up for our rights, we reassert that we, the workers who built the society, are the rightful owners and enjoyers of this society in the commons, or there is no bottom. I mean, we've already got 7 million people in prison, on parole, on probation. This is a mass incarceration state. The shame. It'll get much worse. There is no bottom. You, once you run out of cash, are not welcome even under the bridges. There is no bottom. Your children will beg, and you will compete with them. Number to call, 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Let's talk about the next crash. Prelude to a crash, Mike Whitney writing in Counterpunch. He writes on several websites. Here's a small excerpt of what he put in there. The Fed's easy money policies have pushed margin debt on the New York Stock Exchange to record levels, laying the groundwork for a severe correction or another violent market crash. In December, margin debt rose by $21 billion to an all-time high of $445 billion, buying equities on margin, that is, with loads of borrowed cash. This is crazy. This is the craziness that's going on at the stock market right now. It is a sign of excessive risk, taking the likes of which invariably takes place whenever the central bank creates subsidies for speculation by keeping interest rates pegged below the rate of inflation, or by pumping trillions of dollars into the bloated financial system through misguided liquidity programs like quantitative easing. Investors have shrugged off dismal earning reports, abnormally high unemployment, flagging demand, droopy income, stagnant wages, and swollen P/E ratios, and loaded up on stocks, confident that the Fed's infusions of liquidity will keep prices going higher. It's only a matter of time before they see the mistake they've made. Zero rates and quantitative easing, free money for billionaires, lead to excessive risk-taking. The correlation between the stratospheric rise of margin debt and the Fed's destabilizing monetary policy is hard to avoid. This is what bubble making looks like in real time. In the minutes of the FOMC's December meeting, the officials acknowledged the froth they've created in financial assets, which is why they've begun to scale back their asset purchases. The Fed hopes that by gradually winding down quantitative easing, they'll be able to stage a soft landing rather than a full-blown crash. Yeah, I know. I'll wait for the laughter to stop. Here's an excerpt from the minutes of that committee and their discussion of potential risks. Several participants commented on the rise in forward price-to-earnings ratios for some small-cap stocks, the increased level of equity repurchases, or the rise in margin credit. One pointed to the increase of issuance of leveraged loans this year and the apparent decline in the average quality of such loans, end quote. So there you have it, Mike Whitney writes. The Fed sees the results of its works, the distortion in the ratios, the exuberant stock buybacks, equity repurchases, the deterioration of the quality of leveraged loans, and the steady rise in margin debt. So, and this is all pointing to kablooey, to put it into a word, kablooey. That'll be the stock market's middle name. Also, Whitney also wrote about Washington getting involved in Ukraine. He writes, and that's also in Counterpunch, he says, Washington's at again up to its old tricks. You'd think after Afghanistan and Iraq fiascos, someone on the policymaking team would tell a fantasist to dial it down a bit. But no, the Obama clack is just as eager to try their hand at regime change as their predecessors, the Bushies. By the way, you ever wonder what the difference is between a click and a clack? I never do. But this time, he writes, the bullseye is on Ukraine, the home of the failed Orange Revolution, where the U.S. non-governmental organizations fomented a populist coup that brought down the government and paved the way for years of social instability, economic hardship, and eventually a stronger alliance with Moscow. It sure worked well, didn't it? One can only wonder what Obama has in mind for an encore. Are you calling? Are you getting the thumb drive? Are you getting the Flower Tower t-shirt? Are you spending 3 minutes of your time, $10 a month? You. Are you moving forward, do you understand how important counter-propaganda is to the revolution that we will have? You know, the billionaires ought to get down on their knees and thank me. Oh, thank you, Teresa Mitchell. Thank you, thank you, thank you. If they understood where things are going, they'd say, oh, it was Teresa Mitchell that said we should limit wealth at $10 million. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because the way things are going, it'll take longer, but it won't be limit wealth to $10 million. It'll be, they'll be hanging from lampposts. Not that I think it's a good idea. That's just the way people act after they've been abused long enough. After they've been thrown into dungeons like our people are, why can't we let our people go? The Jim Crow drug war has to stop. And the first step is to get out enough counter-propaganda to actually empower the population so that they stand up as one. You know, when Fidel Castro crashed his yacht and lost most of his fighters, when he was invading Cuba from Mexico, he's from Cuba, but he raised funds in New York and Mexico, got a yacht, bunch of guns, bunch of followers trained in the mountains, tried to reach Cuba, crashed in the mangrove swamps. 12 people got out alive. 12 people started walking towards the Sierra Maestras, and their revolution won. And why? Because they were socialist supermen? No, because Fidel Castro had spent year after year after year depropagandizing the Cuban people, pointing to Batista, pointing to corruption, pointing to a grotesque maldistribution of wealth that destroyed the dignity and the health of Cubans all over the island. And everyone knew that those 12 people were all they had, because they knew that there is no bottom. They were already living on the bottom. KBOO Radio is doing the work of setting the ground for revolution, setting the ground for a nonviolent revolution. Please, Americans, oh my God, once Americans start shooting, they'll never stop. Nonviolent revolution, that's what KBOO is about. That's what my show is about anyway. 877-500-5266. Once again, I am joined by Pledge Central.
It's the Palace of Pledge out here.
Yes.
That's what it is. And we are here. The phones are ringing, and we're getting towards our goal, and we want you to help us go past that. You know, one of the things we've got that I think your listeners would really like is our Internet Security Toolkit for a $75 donation and contribution. This thing, I don't totally understand it, but it's a Tor browser, and it provides a way to browse anonymously. KeePass, a free open source password manager available for Windows with unofficial ports for iOS.
Helps
Android,
keep the NSA
Linux.
Off your ass, basically.
That's right. Yeah. TrueCrypt. I love cloud storage, which lets you effortlessly encrypt entire folders. This is something Teresa Mitchell's listeners would like. $75. I want it too. I want to get one of these.
So, and you can spread that $75 pledge over the whole year, so you don't have to just pledge, you know, come up with the $75 right now, but you could get this incredible thing that allows you some anonymity online. And we know, as every revelation comes out from Edward Snowden and so forth, that thanks to Teresa Mitchell, we know this information, that you don't have any privacy on the internet anymore. But you can with this wonderful, I guess not a gadget, but piece of software.
Okay, last 4 minutes to call
in. All right. Yes, Steve has renewed. Linda is a new member. Thank you, Lindy. Or Lindy, come on down. Kathleen is a new member from Northeast.
I have information.
James renewed from Salem. Thank you.
I have information on the thermohaline circulation, which I think you'll really want to see but I'm not going to give it out unless I hear at least three phone calls coming in. 877-500-5266. Seriously, fundraising is more important. I can get around to thermohaline circulation next week.
And it'll be around. It's 877-500-5266. This is the time to call, folks, this very, very, very minute. Get it out of the way. Your whole weekend will feel better, and you feel better listening to KBOO when you are a member. 877-500-5266. If you want this little piece of information from Teresa, you need to start calling right now. 877-500-5266. She doesn't want to get tough, but it's sometimes you just have to.
I think we're actually verging on a point of threatening our listeners, which
no,
is
no,
that
no,
really
no.
We want to encourage our listeners.
All right.
Nurture them towards
it's a matter
calling
of practicality,
us and donating
though.
Some money.
Okay, I had a mocha this morning.
This is a terrific show and you learned so much from it. But if you call up right now, you could show your gratitude to all Teresa's hard work. And of course, this is all unpaid. Teresa is one of the many terrific volunteers we have here. So please call us at 877-500-5266.
3 minutes left.
877-500-KABU.
Your finger is itching to point to push those buttons. It's itching. Just let it do it. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Okay, you've got the number now. Now just put your little hand in your pocket. Take your phone out. It's so easy to do. And we've
and
got all
so
kinds
important.
Of... Yes, it's easy. It's important. This is... It's vital to have a station with information that comes out like KBOO. We've been here for on to 46 years. We wanted to 46
There's
more.
One.
There's phones going. There's one... It's almost time to get your information. 877-500-5266. Keep things going here.
877-500-KABU. 877-500-5266, like I said.
Or KBOO.FM.
Yes, and we also have that thumb drive, as I was saying, with Pete Seeger and Molly Ivins on it. You may want to get that. We have wonderful t-shirts. We have the Flower Tower t-shirt. Okay, that'll do it. All right, now to the thermohaline circulation. If you're wondering, thank you very much, Pledge Central. Please keep calling while I'm giving this information. The ocean is a major driver of global climate. It redistributes large amounts of heat around the planet via global ocean currents. They're really huge. They're bigger than the Amazon. They're under the water. Through regional scale upwelling and downwelling and via a process called the thermohaline circulation. Now, skipping ahead, this sounds technical, and I guess it is a little bit, but it base it simple. Cold water with less salt in it, denser, sinks down around Greenland, goes circulating down into the tropics, and it changes the climate. What it does is it cools the tropics, keeps the tropics from getting too hot, keeps Texas from getting too hot, and, you know, I guess more like Florida. It probably circulates around to Texas a little bit. But anyway, and it keeps things from getting too cold in the winter because the opposite flow also happens. This circulation is breaking down. Now, what's happening? What's happening is exactly what was predicted. Major, major snowstorms, violent storms over Britain, major, major snowstorms over the United States. If this keeps up, as the years pass along, what we'll see is that we'll have these frozen, disastrous, stormy winters over the east coast of the United States, and they won't thaw out for a long time, and they'll be followed by absolutely roasting summers simply because this moderation of temperature, this circulating engine, this vast underwater Amazon is giving out. And why? It's giving out because global warming, soot, has hit the surface of Greenland. Greenland has been melting like crazy. You heard about it. You saw the thermal maps last year and the entire surface started melting. A lot of people got that wrong and thought that all of the snow had melted off. No, not so. New York would be gone if it did. No, but a layer for the first time that is known, a layer of snow, who knows how many centimeters, was melting and pouring off of Greenland. This screwed up the thermal halane circulation. We are experiencing what was predicted decades ago. No kidding, we're in it. We're not waiting for a global warming disaster. This is the global warming disaster, which ironically is taking the form of these gigantic icy storms. So you heard it on Press Watch. Now you need to stay tuned as you're dialing in, as you're calling 877-500-5266 and joining KBOO. Please stay tuned because Linda Olson Osterlund is next with more information for you.
To celebrate Valentine's Day and Oregon's birthday, KBOO Community Radio will host a special day of news and public affairs programming. For Love of a Better World will be a 12-hour special focusing on the transformational place we find ourselves, solutions to get out of the muck, and the groups and individuals who are fighting the good fight. For Love of a Better World, KBOO's news and public affairs 12-hour special, February 14th, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to A Deeper Look, the Membership Drive Edition. My guest today is Elizabeth Colbert. She's an award-winning staff writer for The New Yorker and the author of Field Notes from a Catastrophe, Man, Nature, and Climate Change. Her brand new book and our topic today is The Sixth Extinction, An Unnatural History. Welcome to KBOO, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much for writing your book. Now, your title of the book is The Sixth Extinction, and that immediately makes me wonder, well, what extinctions is she talking about? I mean, we're all familiar with individual extinctions, or certainly at least with threatened species. We can just wave the polar bear and the penguins, and we know a little bit what we're talking about, but give us an overview.
Well, the sixth extinction, which I realize only in retrospect is sort of difficult to say, refers to the fact that over the last half a billion years, which is the time on Earth when complicated animal life has existed, so over that time there have been five major mass extinctions. The fifth, the most recent and most well-known, is the extinction that did in the dinosaurs about 65 million years ago, and there's quite a broad scientific consensus at this point that that was caused by an asteroid impact. And now you all hear scientists say, and I have heard scientists say, that we, human beings, are the asteroid in the case of the sixth extinction.
Yes, and I've heard that too, and when I hear it, I always think of all the really terribly bad things that we as humans do in terms of pollution and, well, and just, you know, killing off a whole species because we want to eat it, or there seem to be so many of them, or accidentally killing them off, or at least somewhat accidentally, like we appear to be doing to the salmon here in the Pacific Northwest by building dams. But you're saying we're in a mass extinction now. Like the dinosaurs, we think of those as all having gone at once. But what's going on now isn't having all gone on at once, or at least it certainly doesn't feel like that as a human, but it does feel like it's moving forward. Talk a little bit more about how do you determine what kind of extinction we're in.
Well, I think one thing that's really important just to sort of lay the groundwork here is to realize that when you can see an extinction, if a person, you know, can watch an animal go extinct in a human lifetime, something very unusual is going on, because extinction should take place very, very rarely in the normal course of events, sort of normal understood as over long, long periods of time. There's something that biologists refer to as a background extinction rate, and that is very, very low. So on the order of maybe, you know, one mammal would go extinct every 700 years or so.
So we wouldn't even be aware of it as a human.
Exactly. If you're living for 70 or 80 years, the chances of it happening during your lifetime are very, very low. But we are all aware of mammals that either have gone extinct in our lifetime or are really on the verge of extinction, are only kept alive actually by human intervention. So something, you know, right away we know something pretty unusual is happening when that's going on. Now, in terms of, you know, whether it's instantaneous or not, in the course of, you know, in our lifetimes, it may look like it's happening, you know, well, as you say, it looks like it's happening increasingly quickly, but it may seem not to be happening, you know, all at once. But in once again, if you take a very broad look at it in the course of geological history, everything that's happened over the last, you know, several thousand years is going to be compressed down to this tiny, tiny layer, and it's going to look like it did happen instantaneously, more or less the way it looks like, you know, what happened to the dinosaurs.
Okay, so in other words, it's partly just our view. Our view is close in day to day, not hundreds of millions of years or even, you know, hundreds of years. Usually humans aren't too good at planning that far ahead.
Exactly.
And so scientists are in agreement that we're in the midst right now of one of those?
Well, I think some people would say we're on the verge, and some people would say we're at the beginning, and some people would say we're at the midst. In the midst. Once again, it's one of those things, you know, that is very hard to say when you're right up against it.
Well, let's talk about what, in fact, they're renaming the period we live in. Instead of Holocene, many are beginning to talk about it as the Anthropocene.
Yeah, that's a really interesting discussion. As you say, we live in a geological epoch. Geologists divide time in all sorts of ways. It can get a little bit complicated. But we live in the Holocene, which is the period since the last ice age. It's about 12,000 years. And now there's a question of whether what we're doing to the planet, whether the changes that we're effecting are so great that we should rename it the Anthropocene in honor, I guess you could say, of one species, that species being us, that has now come to take the place of the great geological forces that have shaped the Earth in the past. And there's a lot of, you know, debate, serious scientific debate going on right now about whether that